Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
The new State of Tobacco Control Report is out for all 50 states from the American Lung Association. This is something they've done for 23 years. And Pennsylvania gets an F. But don't get too upset because Pennsylvania has gotten an F for the last 10 years. What is going wrong in Pennsylvania in terms of how we are controlling tobacco, e-cigarettes, vaping, and including things like flavored tobacco? What can we be doing better? And what are the public health implications of the fact that Pennsylvania scores so poorly on so many of these measurements that are made by the American Lung Association? On the line with us this morning is Elizabeth Hensel. She is Director of Advocacy for Pennsylvania and West Virginia for the American Lung Association. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Dr. Jamie Garfield joins us from Temple University in Philadelphia. She is a professor of thoracic medicine and surgery and a national spokesperson for the Lung Association. Good morning, Dr. Garfield.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also on the line is a Lung Association volunteer. She is Petrea McKeithen. She is the mother to a beautiful 17-month-old boy, and she is a volunteer with the Lung Association. Good morning, Petrea.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Liz, from the Lung Association. You've been doing this report for 23 years. What does the State of Tobacco Control report measure in our 50 states?
Sure. So there are five different categories that the report looks at all 50 states across the country. It looks at tobacco prevention and control program funding, looks at smoke-free air, tobacco taxes, access to cessation services, and flavored tobacco products. And what it does is it's like an ongoing record. So it allows us to constantly look and see how states have progressed or maybe they have fallen behind. And it allows us as advocates to work with our state legislators to, work on areas that need to be improved. It's not, I don't look at it as a way to shame our legislature. Mm-hmm. I really look at it as a way to, start the dialogue and see what we can do to get better.
Three F's and two D's is not a great report card. You tobacco prevention and cessation funding, Pennsylvania gets an F. What does that mean?
Well, that grade is based on every year the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, they put out a best practice for each state on how much they should be spending annually with the goal of, eradicating the tobacco epidemic in each state. This year for Pennsylvania, the CDC recommends that we spend $140 million. And unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, we're spending almost $21 million. So that's about 14.8% of what is recommended by the CDC.
I was just going to say it's far less than 20% of what the recommendation was. Smoke-free air, we get a D. What sort of things is that measuring?
Sure. So some of the reasons why we get a D on this is because, we did pass the Clean Indoor Air Act in 2008, but it had some loopholes. Some of those loopholes include the casino floor. So a casino floor only has to be 50% smoke-free at this time. And if you've been to a casino anytime recently, that is just a giant big room, and they are only required to have half of it smoke-free. So there really isn't
There's no cubicles. If you've been in any of the casinos in Pennsylvania, there's like not walls in between the different rooms. Like you said, it's a big room full of gaming tables or slot machines or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. And to be very honest with you, even just putting up walls and different HVAC systems isn't enough to protect people from that secondhand smoke. Another loophole that is pretty big in the Clean Indoor Air Act is that bars that if that have less than 20% of their revenue coming from food, they are allowed to be a smoking establishment. Some of the reasons why this really concerns us is twofold. Number one, the employees that are working there. If you ask people in Pennsylvania if they believe that all workplaces in Pennsylvania are smoke-free, they will tell you yes, because they do not think of places like casinos and bars. They think of those as places of entertainment for them, but they're not thinking about the people that are working there.
Sure.
And unfortunately, you know, the casino workers, I've been working a lot with them across the state. They're struggling. You know, a lot of them are very good at their jobs. They don't want to find new jobs. They've been a dealer for the past 10 years or so. They're good at it. They don't want a new job, but they do end up taking a lot of days off of work. Some of them have developed asthma, you know, from the smoking.
Some of the figures that jump out, we're talking with folks from the American Lung Association about the State of Tobacco Control report that came out just about a week ago now. As you are hearing this, you can get the entire thing. You can download it at lung.org/research from the American Lung Association. Elizabeth Hensel is Director of Advocacy in Pennsylvania and West Virginia for the Lung Association. Also on the line with us, and we're going to be bringing them into the conversation very shortly here, Dr. Jamie Garfield from Temple University, and Petrea McKeithen, who is a mother and a volunteer with the Lung Association. One of the figures that jumped out at me in the report, Liz, this is big business in Pennsylvania. Hopefully my math is correct here, but we're talking tobacco revenue in Pennsylvania is $1.3 billion with a B dollars, right? And the CDC recommends $140 million. Be spent on tobacco control, best practices, education, smoking cessation program. So they're talking about a tenth, basically, of what the state brings in revenue from tobacco sales being spent. The CDC also recommending the CDC recommending the $140 million, and the state, as you mentioned, spending about $19 million. So 1%, basically, of what is actually being recommended, or 1% of what we're collecting revenue is actually being spent on smoking cessation. I bring that up, and I apologize for interrupting. I bring that up because I know people listening are the first thing they're going to say is, well, where does the money come from? Well, it's a $1.4 billion revenue generator for the state. Tobacco taxes, though, you give Pennsylvania, the Lung Association researchers give Pennsylvania an F. Why is that?
Currently, you know, our tax rate for tobacco is a little bit on the low side. It's $2.60 for a pack of 20. But one thing that is notable that at the Lung Association we are working to change across the country is that tobacco being taxed by a pack of 20 is really not really capturing all the tax that could possibly be out there. So we really need to be looking at the weight of the tobacco as opposed to just taxing it as a pack. So that is one thing that we do support, well as raising the tobacco tax.
A stupid question, but I guess there is no such thing as a stupid question if you don't know the answer. Smokeless tobacco, and I know you're the Lung Association, right? But smokeless tobacco also has been linked to mouth and throat cancers. Is smokeless tobacco taxed or were we just talking this 20 cigarettes is a tax?
No, smokeless tobacco is taxed.
Okay.
And that actually is weight-based. So that is based on, it's taxed on how much it weighs.
So what you're saying is that merely taxing just there's 20 cigarettes in a pack and we tax a pack of 20 cigarettes, that's not capturing, as you said, especially if I were this one of the smokeless tobacco companies, I'd be a little bit upset that they're paying taxes based on weight or the consumer is paying the tax based on weight and the cigarette manufacturers are not.
Can I interject?
Yes, please, Dr. Garfield. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're looking for from the Lung Association, I think, is looking for nationally is to see more money coming in from tobacco revenue. So increasing taxes on tobacco products and equalizing the taxes across all tobacco products means very directly less people will start using and more people who use will stop using. There's a very direct relationship between the cost of tobacco products and the number of new users and the, you know, continuity of people who are currently using. It has to be equalized across all tobacco products because otherwise people will pivot from one tobacco product to another tobacco product. So the pain has to be felt across equally across all tobacco products. So we want to see more states charging more money, more taxes for all tobacco products equalized across all of them. That's going to bring in more revenue into every state. And I know states have lots of things that they need to pay for. And I'm not saying that we need to take away money from all these other really important things, but more money has to come back into tobacco use, tobacco cessation resources, tobacco control policies. So if we're going to be getting more revenue from tobacco companies, we have to be putting more of that into our, you know, the people in Pennsylvania who need these resources to help to quit to using these tobacco products. You know, more than 70% of people who smoke cigarettes don't want to be smoking cigarettes. And among that 70% who don't want to be smoking, only about half of them will actually quit. And less than 5% of them are actually successful in cessation. It's a very difficult addiction to quit. And so resources have to be robust. They have to include evidence-based pharmacotherapy that can help people to quit smoking, and behavioral health counseling resources, pamphlets, public health messaging. Like, there's a lot that needs to go into the resources that Pennsylvanians need to make quitting tobacco products more likely, more realistic, more possible.
This is not going to be a popular program this week with the local convenience stores or retailers, many of which who have posted signs telling people to call your legislature. If you buy cigarettes or smokeless tobacco, call your legislators and complain about possible new restrictions. We have a break coming up, and I want to circle back and sort of close the loop on this. Flavored tobacco, Liz Hensel from the Lung Association. Why is that such an issue? Because that's a sign that I've seen popping up in some local stores about menthol cigarettes and menthol tobacco.
Well, flavored tobacco in general, that is a way to addict a new generation.
So those are more appealing to younger people who are just... How do I even phrase this? Getting started in this addiction, I was going to call it a hobby for a second. This is a way to hook younger people into it?
Okay. It is. You know, typical tobacco does not taste good. But by adding a flavor to that, it becomes much more appealing to the youth. And I think Trey could actually speak really eloquently about this topic.
Let's pause. Let's take a break there. And when we come back, let's hear a little bit of your story, Petrea. Okay. We are talking about the State of Tobacco Control Report that was just released by the American Lung Association. This is the 23rd year that they have done the State of Tobacco Control Report. You can download Pennsylvania's report, or if you're listening to us in Bethany, West Virginia on WZUM, you can download the West Virginia report there. Go to lung.org/research. Pennsylvania gets an F in most categories, 3 F's and 2 D's. Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
The State of Tobacco Control in Pennsylvania, that's what we're talking about, the 23rd Annual State of Tobacco Control Report from the American Lung Association. You can download it, or download it reports for any of the 50 states, along with historical data at lung.org/research. When we took a break, Petrea McKeithen was about to speak, and Petrea, I interrupted you. You're a mom to a beautiful 17-month-old baby boy. You live in the Wilkes-Barre area. Tell us about your story. We were about to talk about flavored tobacco, and that's played, unfortunately, a role in your life.
Yes, it definitely has. Definitely agree with what Dr. Elizabeth Hensel was saying earlier about the flavoring of tobacco and vaping. When I first started vaping, it was not necessarily the tobacco, the nicotine that got me in. It was always the flavoring. And my choice was always banana ice. It drew me in. I've always loved bananas, and my family, like my parents, they always made me like banana desserts as a kid, and it was very like nostalgic for me.
People have not been into a vaping store, and they're everywhere now. They do have all kinds of coconut, banana, strawberry, different fruit flavors. I mean, we talked a little bit about the menthol flavor, but it really runs the gamut. I'm probably making it sound better than it really is. And Petrae, how old were you when you started vaping then?
They are definitely everywhere. I want to say I was, oh gosh, this was in, my lungs collapsed in 2022. I want to say I was about 23.
And how long had you been vaping to that
23,
point?
24. Only a year when my lungs collapsed.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, because we hear a lot of, and I know they retailers have done a better job of trying to crack down on minors buying, but you were not a minor when you started vaping. What happened, Petrea?
So a few weeks before my lungs actually collapsed, I was having breathing issues. I was getting really dizzy. I was having a lot of anxiety. I even remember at one point blacking out, and I thought it was because I was hungry, because I have like hypoglycemia and stuff like that. So I thought that that's why I blacked out. And I thought that I thought I had asthma. Just regular asthma, and my doctor actually explained to me that I wasn't having asthma problems. My lungs were giving out on me, and now I have asthma because my lungs gave out on me. So September 19th of 2022, that morning I had Grotto's pizza. I was totally okay. No breathing problems whatsoever. It was a really good day. I went shopping. I bought myself some stuff. I come home, and around like between 9 and 11, I honestly don't really remember the time. There was just a lot going on. My lungs started to feel really tight, and I couldn't breathe. I physically could not breathe. My mom, she ended up calling an ambulance, and they transported me to the nearest hospital, which is right behind my house. That hospital could not physically help me. So the next morning, I ended up getting flown to Danville, Pennsylvania, where I ended up getting put on a medically induced coma for 10 days on ECMO. And if for those that don't know what ECMO is, it's steel lungs. I was put on steel lungs to help me breathe. So basically, my lungs were shut off in a sense. And this machine was filtrating through my blood, breathing for me. So I was in a coma for 10 days. And when I woke up out of my coma, my entire life changed. Everything changed. The way I live now, everything has changed. It is not cool to vape. It's not fun. It's just not worth it, because at the end of the day, I like th there is a recently a fire here in Pennsylvania. And because of that fire, my lungs are freaking out, and I'm having a harder time breathing, and I had to take a steroid this morning, and my voice is really raspy because I can't breathe very well. That's just what happens when you have EVALI lung disease like I do because of vaping. And a lot of people think it's never going to happen to me. I did too, and it happened to me.
I have asthma myself, not at all the same thing. I'm not trying to compare the two, but I just want to
Oh
say
yeah.
that when you can't breathe, that is one of the most terrifying things that can
Yes.
happen to you when you have that pressure on your chest and you can't, you're gasping for breath and you're not getting any. Dr. Garfield, I don't think you're Petrea's doctor, so you I don't know that you can necessarily comment on her situation, but what are some of the mechanisms that kick in that can cause a condition like Petrea had?
Youth vaping is still a major problem. Nationally, 2.1 million kids, middle school and high school kids, use electronic cigarettes. And in Pennsylvania, the number is about 1 in 5. So
One
I
in
have a
five,
kid.
20% of what, like
High
12
school.
to
High school.
18 year olds. Okay.
Yes, right. High school people use tobacco. That's the tobacco rate in Pennsylvania. The majority of people who use tobacco products, kids, are using electronic cigarettes. So I'm not giving you exactly the number for electronic cigarettes only. But as Petraea mentioned, they come to these products because of the flavors. And then they stay because they're then addicted to the nicotine within these products. There's no reason to have, you know, bubble gum and banana ice flavoring. That is not a harm reduction strategy to help adult smokers or current combustible tobacco users pivot from a more risky product to a safer product. There's no reason that these flavored products have any value except to lure people in, particularly lure kids in, and to get them to start using tobacco products and then become hooked on nicotine. So Petraea's story is one that, you know, I've heard many times before. She used the word Evoli.
Yeah, what is that?
It's e-cigarette or vaping device associated lung injury. And so it's a phenomenon that we saw and we recognized in 2019 and 2020, where, you know, hundreds of people, mostly kids or young adults, came down with just fulminant and acute respiratory failure. Many were hospitalized, many were put on ventilators, and over 60 something people actually died, or that their death was attributed to Evoli, some of whom, like Petraea, were on ECMO, which is
what you used to call heart lung machine, basically.
Yeah, it's called extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. So the blood is taken out of the body, put through a filtering system that gives it oxygen, then poured back into the body. I guess the mechanism of that wasn't really clear because it was difficult for us to. The biggest problem with vaping products is that they're not regulated. So we don't actually know what's in them. So, you know, there was a lot of data trying to understand, you know, the people who developed Evoli, what were they vaping? What was in the products that they were using? But, you know, the CDC wasn't really able to clearly establish. There were some sort of thoughts that it could be related to something called vitamin E. It could be related to compounds that have cannabis in them. But because these products are so poorly regulated, we didn't really know what caused the Evoli.
If I can ask you real quick, and I don't want to derail the conversation, but what actually is in these vaping fluids? Because we've been lumping them in with tobacco, but they're not leaf tobacco
nicotine.
Familiar with
nicotine is in them, yeah. Although some of the products will actually say no nicotine, but there's no way to prove that if a product says no nicotine, there's actually no nicotine in it because they're not regulated by the FDA. But let's say most of them have nicotine. Most of them have some flavorings, like all these flavorings that we've been talking about. And then they have additives. These additives help with shelf life. And some of the testing that's done on these additives are done on the additives, not in its combustible form. So we don't know how these chemicals and compounds change as they're heated. We have just very little data on the health effects of these products and no uniformity across all of these products.
Are these the same kind of chemicals? What were these chemicals used for before vaping, before e-cigarettes were a thing? I mean, are these plastics? Are these solvents? I mean, what are they breathing in?
There are like things that we know to be carcinogenic, like formaldehyde and other aldehydes. There are heavy metals that we know are injurious, like nickel and cadmium, chromium. There are things that we know are injurious to the lungs, but there's no way to know what's in these products in any consistent way because
there's not a nutrition fact label on them or even if there is.
Even if there is, there's no one who's checking that what's on the outside of the package is the same thing that's inside. And so my real caution about Evoli, and it's so wonderful to see someone who really survived this and has done so well. But my real caution about it is that it will happen again. Because without regulation of these products and when the intention behind product development and manufacturing adjustments is just about revenue generation, there's no reason why a very unsafe or unhealthy product will come back onto the market again.
We have a second break to take. The time goes quickly. When we come back, I want to talk about what somebody listening to this, and maybe they themselves are a smoker or a e-cigarette user, or they've got a grandchild, niece, nephew, and they're concerned. What can they do? How can they get involved through the Lung Association or through their local communities? Okay. Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
We've heard Petraeus' story this morning. Liz, we've heard that Pennsylvania is spending about 14% of what is estimated that it actually needs to be spending on tobacco control. In other words, about 1% of what we collect in tobacco revenue in Pennsylvania, which is a billion-dollar industry in this state. Liz, what can people do to get involved? How can they, if they're hearing this and they want to speak up, who do they talk to?
There's a couple of different ways to get involved. We do have a couple of events coming up regionally. There's Fight for Air Climb. So it's climbing stairs. It's a fundraiser, and that money goes towards research and the programs that we do with the American Lung Association. In Pittsburgh, that one is on March 22nd.
And that's at One Oxford Center in Pittsburgh.
The Philadelphia one is March 29th. Another really important thing that you can do is if you feel really passionate about this topic, you should call your legislator. You should call your legislator and ask them to support eliminating flavored tobacco in Pennsylvania. You should also ask them to support pending legislation to close the loopholes in the Clean Indoor Air Act.
We unfortunately lost a great friend of this show a few weeks ago. State Representative Matt Gurgley passed away very unexpectedly. Matt was on this show just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions I asked him was, when someone calls their legislator's office, does that actually make a difference? Like, you know, we're all cynical. And he said, I can tell you that when someone calls their state representative or their state senator, yes, we do listen and we are concerned. You know, if someone took the time to call us.
It's also really important to remember that when the legislator sees that one person called, they know that there's at least five more that feel the same way.
We say that in the radio. We say that in the radio business, too.
It's actually really important to participate in that way. And we also do have a yearly day at the Capitol for American Lung Association. This year, it is on May 6th in Harrisburg. You can sign up for Day at the Capitol by visiting our PACT website. That is PACT online, PACTonline.org.
Okay.
Right there on the main page, you can sign up to be an advocate with us this year. We'd love to have you. And usually about 400 people come to Pennsylvania, a lot of kids coming to support our issues.
It should be noted that that tobacco use is still, and we're just about out of time here, is still considered the leading cause of preventable deaths and cancers in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big year. The Surgeon General just reported in 2024 the 50th anniversary of the Surgeon General's report on tobacco. So there's a lot of conversation about tobacco in the public sphere. And I think in Pennsylvania in particular, our agenda is to close some of these loopholes in the Clean Air Act and increase funding for tobacco cessation resources. I think those would be really big wins, and just increasing awareness. So if people are telling other people that tobacco is not cool, that it's dangerous, the number one cause of preventable death and disease in the United States, killing almost 500,000 people every year. Like, we just have to change the story and the narrative on tobacco use and increase resources to help people who use these products to quit.
The Fight for Air Stair Climb is coming up March 22nd in Pittsburgh at One Oxford Center. If you'd like to get involved with the Lung Association, you can call 412-430-3061 or go to action.lung.org. If you want to read the state of tobacco control in Pennsylvania, or if you're listening to us in Bethany, West Virginia, in West Virginia, you can go to lung.org/research. On the line with us this morning is Petraeus McKeithen. Thank you, Petraeus, for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you.
Dr. Jamie Garfield is a national spokesperson for the Lung Association and a professor of thoracic medicine and surgery at Temple University Hospital. Dr. Garfield, thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you.
And Liz Hensel is director of advocacy for the Lung Association in Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Liz, thank you as well for helping lead our conversation this morning.
Thank Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.